in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, you've heard me on the show talk about toxic relationships. And today I want to talk about addictive relationships. And I know some of you are asking the question, well, is there a difference between addictive relationships and toxic relationships? Well, I don't think there's really necessarily a difference, but I believe that we can be addicted to a toxic relationship. And I believe that we can become addicted to our relationships just like we can become addicted to anything else, whether it's alcohol or drugs, pharmaceutical prescription drugs, or gambling, or sex, whatever it is, we can become addicted to. And oftentimes, when we're in a toxic relationship, we don't realize that we're actually addicted to it, even though we keep going back to it after we break up over and over and over again. And every time we go back into the relationship, we lose a piece of ourself. We lose our self-esteem even more, and our self-worth. And we feel even worse than the first time we left. It's a cycle. And in order to understand about being addicted to a toxic relationship, we have to understand the signs and the guideposts that let us know that we're actually dealing with that situation. You know, I found oftentimes we have a situation happening to us, whether we're in a relationship with someone or a personal situation, and because we don't necessarily have a definition for it, we don't understand that we can actually treat it. We don't even understand what we're in because we don't even have an analysis or a thought process base that we need to even think about something, much less defining it as it is. And I found that oftentimes when we're in a toxic relationship, we come up with all these other thoughts about it. Like, well, maybe we're just not that compatible, or maybe we're just in two different places, or we need to work harder to keep the relationship. You know, many of us have egos that we don't want to have another failed relationship. So we're constantly thinking about that. And as we think about that, it causes pain and suffering because we stay in a relationship that's just not healthy. It doesn't provide for us, and it doesn't give us the sustenance and the love and the joy that we need. But also, we have to realize that a relationship is not about that. We have to first establish that with ourselves, that joy and that unconditional love and that happiness within ourselves before we can really bring it into another relationship. And we can't look to somebody to fulfill those needs as well. You know, many of us, we haven't really figured out who we are yet. And we go from relationship to relationship with never dealing with the emotional, the mental, or the spiritual baggage that we've claimed in those relationships. We don't want to be alone. And so that fear of being alone keeps us from ever being on our own to figure out who we are. Instead of figuring out who we are, we're too busy trying to figure out our spouse, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, the next person we meet. We try to read up all the self-help books on the problems that we think other people have. The problems that we think other people have, instead of actually investing in ourselves to understand who we truly are. And until we start investing mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually in understanding who we truly are, we will consistently, without a doubt, consistently find more and more toxic relationships to absorb our time on this planet and to take us further away from where we need to truly be. There's two thoughts on toxic relationships. The first thought is that it's a horrible situation and this person is a horrible being and they're being horrible to you and it's all them, not me. But there's another thought, and I think one that's obviously more true, is the fact that we found this toxic relationship and in order to understand it, we have to learn from it. And in order to learn from it, we have to learn about ourselves. And in order to learn about ourselves, we have to be honest with ourselves and do a self-evaluation. And most of that begins with letting go of preconceived notions or societal thoughts. And also letting go of the fact that we don't need to be in a relationship 24/7. We need to sit back and understand who we are, do the work on understanding who we are and what kind of person we are and what our values are, what our interpretations of our values are, and how we're living up to those values. But better yet, what actually matters in our life. But you know that I found that most of the time, many of us are stuck in a toxic relationship. And so you're listening to the show and you're like, well, that's a great idea, but I'm in the middle of this relationship that's like, you know, crazy and volatile, and I've got all this stress on me, and I keep thinking about the problems in the relationship. I don't even have time to think about what you're talking about, Ashley, because I got to take care of this relationship. I got to figure out what's going to happen next. Tomorrow could be an entire storm that I have to get through. And so I'm speaking to you, anybody out there who's in an addictive relationship. And let me explain how you know you're in an addictive relationship. Is that when we're in an addictive relationship, we lose ourselves and our identity. But see, many of us never really knew who we were to begin with. And so we don't really see a huge change. But eventually we realize that we're lost. We don't really know where we are. It's hard to identify the situation. And like any addiction, just like a relationship addiction to a toxic relationship, we think about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the interesting part about it is there's so many ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and it's so often, it's chaotic, okay? It's hard to think straight. And it's almost like you're being put in an emotional blender like every day and a half. And then everything else around you, you're just coping with. You know, you're just showing up to the work as much as you have to, doing as little as possible to try to get by. Most of your friends don't ever hear from you. And if they do hear from you, you're crying on their shoulder about the latest saga, the latest issue that he or she did to you. Okay? Some of them are still listening, and others of them have heard everything that they are so tired of it because you don't take any advice. And a lot of us are hard-headed. We think we know what we need, but because of the addiction, we don't want to listen. Even when we're hearing the truth that we need to walk away from this relationship, we're trying to find a way to get back to them. And so on today's show, I'm going to talk about the cycle, and I'm going to talk about the signs of what it means to be an addicted relationship. And then toward the end of the show, I'm always going to offer a solution, right? I always do this show, and I always provide knowledgeable, factual content with solutions that you can use in everyday life. Okay, so let's begin the discussion, because I find that many of you out there, and because I work with private clients, private therapy clients, and private coaching clients on a daily basis, I get to hear that many of you right now are frustrated because you're in a relationship, it's not really working, and you've broken up several times, and you've gotten back together begrudgingly. And every time you get back with that person, it seems to be a little worse. The situation seems to be worse. It's more volatile. It's more chaotic. And it's becoming a true problem. But because of the addiction, you can't let it go. It's the same as alcohol and drugs. When somebody is an alcoholic, they can see that there's problems. They can see that they don't have the ability to stop drinking. And they know that this is not aiding and abetting in their quality of life. They know it's not making them a successful person. But they're addicted to the alcohol. They're addicted to how it makes them feel. Okay? They're addicted to that. And because of that, they can't just let it go. And the same goes for addictive relationships. You know that it's unhealthy. But I think sometimes you really need to hear the facts behind it so you can understand what you need to do and what you need to know to have clarity and understanding to make the changes you need to in this relationship and figure out how to leave in a positive and cleanly cut out way that doesn't hurt people and that actually allows you to begin to learn about yourself. Okay, so the first sign that you are in an addictive relationship, and I find this very interesting because I think this applies to every toxic relationship on the planet. I mean, seriously. Is that there's extremely happy days and there's extremely sad days. So everything's an extreme. One day you can be the happiest on cloud nine and the other you're completely down in the dumps. And it's interesting because when you're on cloud nine, it's like tunnel vision. It's wonderful. You're on cloud nine. You can't think of anything else. You're like sequestered with this other person because you're enamored with this relationship. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. But then on the flip side, you get so down in the dumps that you can't focus on anything. When things are down, you're losing your items. Maybe you lost your wallet, your keys, your jacket. You're preoccupied. You know, some people get into auto accidents and whatnot when they're not paying attention because they're too busy thinking about what happened in the argument with their lover. And work falls by the wayside, family falls by the wayside, friends fall by the wayside, except for the ones that you talk their ear off about the latest saga. Your self-care is at an all-time low. Exercise usually stops. And everything that's beneficial goes by the wayside because literally all you can think about is this relationship and how to make it get better like it was yesterday or the day before or the week before. Stay tuned when I return. I'll be talking more about addictive relationships and the signs that tell you that you are totally in an addictive relationship, and later on, some of the ways that you can exit stage right and begin to find your true self. Live Your True Life Perspectives. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm talking about addictive relationships, how to know if you're in an addictive relationship, the signs that you're in one, and later on, some things you can do to begin to leave that relationship or even think about leaving that relationship and leaving it in a healthy, positive manner. You know, oftentimes when we're in these addictive relationships, we can't see the forest through the trees. Okay, we got so much going on. We got so much emotion happening in this relationship. Emotions are running high. Both people have a lot of baggage that they've never dealt with. And both people are usually struggling with cycles throughout their entire life. And most of these cycles, these not so positive, somewhat unhealthy cycles, or completely unhealthy cycles, began when we were kids. Okay, and when we're in the environment, if our parents are having an unhealthy relationship, or we're raised by people that are having unhealthy relationships, or they are unhealthy, we see that, and we have to walk through it. And a lot of times, we have to walk on eggshells as kids. There's a lot of things that we have to do, and so we can walk into an adult relationship with all that baggage, and we're already starting off on the wrong foot. You see what I'm saying? So if we're already walking on eggshells and we're worried and concerned and we're doing everything we can and being codependent and have no boundaries because we don't want to upset somebody and doing whatever the other person wants us to do, as you can see, a lot of us fall into that category. What happens is our life becomes upsetting, it becomes unhealthy, and continues to go down that cycle. And eventually we get hurt and angry because we realize that our needs and wants and desires are not being met, okay? And we understand that, but we don't know how to get out of it. And we know when the writing's on the wall that something isn't very healthy, but oftentimes, just like any addiction in life, we know that alcohol and drug addiction is not healthy, but it's hard to let it go. So the first thing that I was talking about right before the break is how there's extremes, ups and downs, extremes, highs and lows in these types of relationships. And it's very volatile relationships where some days are you're on cloud nine and other days you're in the dumps. Okay. Another sign that you are in an addictive relationship is that the relationship it takes up a lot of your mind share. It takes your mind share. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're thinking about this relationship. You know, if the things are actually working and the relationship is working, we seem to isolate with that partner and we spend every waking moment with them. If it's not working, we're usually crying on someone's shoulder and telling them our problems. And like I was saying earlier, usually our friends are tired of hearing about the saga because the saga's been going on for a while. In the beginning, everybody's open to some new stuff. You know, in the beginning, when you're telling a friend about something, you know, a good friend listens and cares. But when we're on like the 15th time of this and the fourth breakup, people get a little irritated, okay? Because obviously you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you're not listening to anybody around you that cares. And I'm a big believer, though, that you really need to watch out when you're asking your friends for advice or asking for advice from your friends, because they can be the nicest people and they can love you and support you, but they can only give you advice based on their healthy or unhealthy life dynamics. And let me explain. First off, when you're asking a friend, a close friend, to give you advice, they're also involved somehow. So they may or may not like the person that you're with. And so that can also change or color or tint or taint the way that they feel about that person and how they talk about them. Another thing is that most of our friends, we love them, but just like most of the people on the planet, aren't very healthy because they haven't gotten right with themselves. So you're asking someone else that hasn't gone through therapy, hasn't done the self-work, what they would do, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's kind of like the idea, why would you ask somebody how to make $1 million to somebody that's never made $1 million? Wouldn't you ask somebody that's made $1 million and probably done it several times how they did it? And I think that's something that we want to think about. And if you take it out of terms of money, if you're interested, for example, in having a really healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, you want your marriage to last forever. If you had two different therapists, one therapist that's never been married or been divorced several times, not to say one's good or bad or the other, but another therapist that's very solid and been married for, let's say, 25 years and has really worked and cultivated that relationship and has gone through the ups and downs and is okay with expressing what they've gone through in honesty and love. Because there's a difference in making everything perfect, but there's a difference in saying, hey, we went through the ups and downs, we went through the chaos, and this is how we did it. Wouldn't that be the person that you would go to talk about marriage advice to? Because they've been through the ups and downs. They've walked through hell and come back out of it. They know how to do it. They've done it, you know, wonderfully for 25 years, and they know that it's a work in progress. That's somebody that I would talk to. I wouldn't talk to somebody that's been married for 6 months and the marriage is on the rocks. Or it could be perfect, but it's 6 months. And so that's something that you want to think about too, because if something is to change in that relationship and your friends are harboring these old ideas that John is a real jerk or Mary is a real piece of work, you're not going to get really good information from them anyway. But then again, we have to ask ourselves, why are we going to our friends for relationship advice when we could probably find someone else that can help us figure that out better and be an accountability to partner to us that we can tell everything to and not mince words and not leave out some of the most important information that most of us find ourselves not being able to tell our friends, right? Another sign that we have found ourselves in an addictive relationship or that we become addicted in the relationship is the fact that there's more drama than it's worth. The relationship is full of drama and chaos. We fight all the time, and then we make up, and then we fight all the time, and then we make up. And I find this interesting because that is a dynamic of a toxic relationship. There's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of arguing, there's very few smooth patches in that relationship. And if there are, they're very short-lived. Because the reason why it's so volatile and there's so much drama is that both people in the relationship are dealing with their own baggage. Okay, so it's like going on a trip, right? You're going on a trip, you're taking a road trip, and you got to fit everything into the trunk. Okay, I got to fit your bags and my bags. We got to fit it all in the trunk. And we got to somehow or not fit it in there harmoniously so that we have room in the vehicle to drive to where we need to go. But think about those bags being unhealthy past cycles, unhealthy behaviors, mental and emotional stuff that we have to deal with. Both of us having self-worth and self-esteem issues are all the bags, okay? And so somehow or not, we got to play nice and be in a real relationship with all that stuff. And whether it's ego, resentment, or anger, or addiction, and all that wrapped up, plus the other issues of being unhealthy in our relationship, we're not going to play well together. Okay? Because one thing that I learned when I took that year sabbatical from any relationship, oh man, it was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. But when I took that year sabbatical, I learned that I had to let go of each emotional piece of baggage that I had. And I had to understand how to let it go. And I had to understand why I got there in the first place. Because I used to think that everybody I was dating was just crazy. You know, I mean, some of y'all were awesome. Now, don't get me wrong. But you know what I'm saying? Just crazy. Like, they were the ones that brought all the disharmony and discourse and argument and drama. But you know what? That was a joke. I was part of it. I was half of the deal. Okay, I brought just as much drama and chaos and all that stuff to the relationship. And I realized that I had to literally inventory that out. Why did I act this way? Why do I have a tendency of wanting to jump off the handle and fight and argue? Why do I want to take the level of anger to the next level? Okay, why do we get there? Why do we get to the point where we have to run out of the house or run out of the apartment because we're so angry and go to a bar and drink? Okay, why is it that the fact that some of us have rebound relationships, right? All these questions, why do we turn to alcohol, drugs, pharmaceuticals? Go back to exes, okay? There's a lot of things that happen. All of this is an unhealthy cycle that when we both come together in an unhealthy, toxic relationship, we bring all that stuff and we're expected to play nice. It's not going to happen because I got to deal with my stuff. You got to deal with your stuff. And if later on down the road it works out that we get together, great. That's usually not the case. But if for some reason that 1% of the population, that 0.001%, if that does happen, that's awesome. But it usually takes a very long time to overcome our issues and our demons and all our personal baggage. If it happens, great. But most of the time we move on. And if we do it right, we learn from the relationship. Instead of hating on it and saying all the time that we wasted, we actually look at the relationship years down the road, not soon, but years down the road after we've moved on, we actually look at it and realize the value that came from it and the lessons that we learned from it. And it can be very powerful if used properly. If you haven't already, check out my website, ashleyberges.com, Ashley, BERGES.com. There's content on there and new shows placed up there on the radio show page every single week. And also there's links to all of my social media as well as my YouTube channel that has new video content every week on relationships, toxic relationships, and the list goes on. Stay tuned. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been pointing out what an addictive relationship looks like, how to understand if you're in one, and later on, what you can actually do about it, because I think solution is key. Right before the break, I was talking about how an addictive relationship is more drama than it's worth. There's more arguments and fighting and making up and fighting and arguing and making up and fighting. And it's all based on all the baggage that we bring into the relationship, both of us. When we have that kind of baggage, there's no way that we can all play nice, okay? Without lying and holding our tongue and not saying how we feel and being walked all over, okay? And so that's a huge thing that we really need to understand, that in any of these relationships, it's not like the two people fighting. It's the two people fighting with their entire past relationship portfolio right there. And I don't know about you, but I've been in some crazy relationships. And when I took that year hiatus off from dating, it changed my life forever. Had I had not taken that year off, I would have continued in that cycle over and over and over again. And I definitely wouldn't be where I am right now. There's no way I could have been. Okay? Because I would have made bad choices on the relationships. I wouldn't have understood who I was. I would have gotten in a relationship based on what I thought I wanted instead of actual love. And it would have been crashing down upon me. And then probably, since I hadn't done the personal work then, I probably wouldn't do it again. And I would run into another relationship and another relationship and another relationship. But I chose to take that year off and to really get to know myself. And that was one of the most important, powerful things that I've ever done. The fourth thing that I want to talk about is how when we're in a toxic relationship and we're addicted to it, we've lost our identity. We don't know who we are anymore. You know, because a good relationship will help you to be more solid, more grounded, more centered. And why is that? Because you're not having to fight and scrape and scratch every single moment to try to figure out where you are and what you're doing. You're not having to be worried every single moment on what the other person is doing. And because when we're in toxic relationships, we're so thinking about what the other person's doing and where they are and what they're thinking and why they did this to me that we actually can't focus on ourselves. We become so codependent in this addictive relationship that we're no longer centered. And the relationship, because of its issues, because of its unhealthy issues, does not support a healthy lifestyle. And having an identity of your own is a healthy lifestyle, and it doesn't support that. And so that's something to really think about. If you've woken up lately, you've been in a relationship, you've gotten back and forth, broken up, got back together, did it again, and you're laying there in bed and you're thinking, my God, what have I done? I feel like I'm lost. I don't know what to think. I don't know who I am anymore. Well, that's where you're at. And in order to find yourself, you've got to begin to put yourself first, and that means letting go of the addiction. Just like with drugs, when somebody's on drugs, cocaine, heroin, anything like that, their concern is how they're going to get more drugs. It's not about where they're going to live or their job or showing up on time to work. It's none of that. It's where am I going to get the next fix? The same thing goes for the relationship. When am I going to get my next fix? When am I going to see this person? How are we going to deal with this? And so you're no longer thinking about life and advancement. You're actually thinking about them the entire time instead of dealing with understanding your own identity and where you stand. When we've lost our identity, and usually when we walk into relationships like this, it's not like we had a real solid identity to begin with, but we had a little bit of an identity. But usually when we get into these relationships, we even lose more of the identity that we had, okay? And the reason for that is that we don't have any boundaries in this relationship. No boundaries. The relationship has no boundaries. And we catch ourselves doing things that we never would, just to please the others and just to keep the peace, okay? And I find that very interesting because as we lose ourselves in the relationship, we get more and more enmeshed, more and more codependent. We have less of our own voice. We say yes when we really mean no. And we don't ever really talk about it, but then we just hold ourselves hostage inside, getting very angry with ourselves and beating ourselves up because we realize we have no boundaries, but we don't know how to end the cycle. And boundaries are so important in any relationship. Boundaries are critical. But most people on the planet don't have any boundaries in place, and most people have never even created a boundary. And they wonder why they are being walked on. They wonder how they get into toxic relationships, and they wonder why they get taken advantage of or used or mentally abused. Because it's based on the fact that there's no boundaries. There's so many times when the red flags were obvious. And had we just created those proper boundaries and said, you know what, this isn't for me. This isn't resonating with my highest frequency. This is quite the opposite. I feel weird. My heart rate seems to be kind of fluctuating. I feel stressed out. I feel low. These all need to be taken into consideration. And oftentimes, more than not, we don't. We don't take any of that in consideration. We let those red flags fly high when later on we have to deal with it. It's not like the person was being somebody different. They were being the same person the whole time. It just got worse and worse and worse over time. But also, how did you fall prey to that? And that's because of the fact that with no boundaries, that means that you've had unhealthy relationships prior to that. Prior, even probably as a kid, dealing with unhealthy relationships in your household dynamic. And so that seemed very normal. And so we are creatures of habit. So being a creature of habit, what do? We continue to follow the same cycle and fall into the same pitfalls that we fall into time after time. And the only way that we can stop the cycle, and you know this and I know this, is to stop the cycle. We have to actually acknowledge that the cycle exists. See what is happening, see our place and motive within it, step back and analyze the situation, and realize that even though it's going to hurt, we're going to have to let something go. In this case, the addictive relationship and then the addictive behavior pattern, and work with somebody I work with clients all the time on this, then work with a therapist like me or me to help you to understand those trigger points, how you got into the relationship, where this stuff came from, okay, from years back, from the beginning, and how to change that so that we don't reinforce this negativity and begin to realize your true value based on who you are, not what you told you were. And I think boundaries are so important. They're important in every single relationship, and without them, we lose ourselves. We don't have identity. Without them, most of the time, we have a lot of resentment. Okay, resentment, because we're resentful of the stuff that we have to do for somebody else. But the whole fact is we started the slippery slope. We started doing that because we wanted them to like us. We wanted them to care for us. And so we did whatever we could, even though we didn't want to do it. And so there you go with the anger and then the resentment. Okay, but then you get into those toxic relationships and you have the anger and resentment and it's not healthy and it's not happy, but you don't want to leave the relationship because of the fear of the unknown. If I leave the relationship, I know it's not healthy, but I don't know what to do. If I leave, then I'm going to be alone. And you see, that's an interesting concept, is being alone is deemed so negative in this planet, which is so crazy because people that actually take the time to be alone and learn from being alone, not begrudge being alone, not hermit out because they're scared of the outside world, but actually learn about themselves in the process of being alone, away from a relationship, are some of the most successful mentally, emotionally, and spiritual people on the planet. And those people, when they take the time to do things, when you take the time to learn that, you become that successful hierarchy that can begin to then discern around you the people who are also on that same trajectory. And you begin to find those people that hold your same values sacred and actually act upon those same values in a positive, sacred manner because they understand the value, because they've let go of the baggage. They see their personal value, and they're looking forward to spending time in their life with someone who also sees their personal value, someone that is not a project, but somebody that's a partner. And I'd rather have a partner any day than a project. And I think that when we actually do the self-work and we actually figure out what boundaries are and we understand that, we understand our identity, we're looking for someone that has that as well. We're not looking to help cultivate that. We're looking to help be there for somebody to grow that and to grow together. Two whole people, not two halves make a whole, but two whole people coming together to create an amazing relationship where both people has done the personal work to bring their best into the relationship and to let go of any unhealthy cycles. When I return, I'll be talking more about addictive relationships, how to understand them, and also a little bit on solution. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I have been revealing signs that you are in an addictive relationship. You know, right before the break, I was talking about one of the caveats, one of the Hallmark greeting cards of being in an addictive relationship is the fact that we have no boundaries. We don't create any boundaries. Instead, we do whatever we have to do to try to keep the relationship, whatever we have to do to try to keep the peace, right? And what happens when we don't have boundaries? We do things we don't want to do. And what happens when we do things we don't want to do? We get angry. And then what happens when we have anger that's held over for a long time and we keep compounding the anger? We get resentful. And what happens, resentments? Not good looking. Resentments are not sexy, I'm telling you that. But that's the thing, is we get resentful because we're not living the life that we know we need to. We're doing things against our values because we're trying to save this relationship that's so codependent, we don't even know where they end and we begin. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why we lose our identity, because we let go of everything that matters in our life and we walk over values just to hope that John or Angie is going to stay in our life. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, the next sign that you are in an addictive relationship is the fact that there is what? There's low self-esteem. Yeah, addictive relationships, toxic relationships do not add to our high self-esteem and self-worth. Quite the opposite, actually. Isn't that true? I mean, we have a low self-esteem because you know the relationship is not healthy. But every time you break up and you keep going back, it makes you feel even badder. It makes you feel sadder. It makes you feel angrier. It makes you feel like you're nothing. And you realize you have no willpower. It's the same as being addicted to a drug. You wake up in the morning and you say, you know what, I'm not going to do any drugs today. I'm not going to do any, or I'm not going to drink any alcohol today. I can do it. I can go sober. I'm going to do it. And what happens by 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening? It's on like Donkey Kong. Okay? And then you get totally messed up. You wake up, you feel horrible again. You feel sad. You feel disgraced. Right? Same thing. Low self-esteem. You know the relationship's not healthy. You know it's addictive. You know it's toxic. But what happens? You go back. And then you go back again. And then you go back again and you grovel or whatever. You get back again. Okay, and each and every time, a piece of your self-esteem, poof, goes away. Poof, 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 poof. And eventually there is none, right? There is none. But you know what? We got into this relationship because we had a low self-esteem to begin with. So do we have any self-esteem anymore? And that's what I really want you to think about. If you're in an addictive relationship and you've gone back for more than 2 times, you've really got to check yourself at this point. Because you know it's not good for you, but you keep doing what's not good for you. And why do you keep doing what's not good for you? Because you really don't love yourself and you don't really care about yourself, or you'd stop doing it because it's abuse. Straight up. Isn't that true? If you were hitting yourself every day and you knew it was bad for you and you knew that you should stop hitting yourself because you were abusing yourself, right? Think about it. It's the same thing. You're not inflicting actual physical bruises that somebody in the outside world could see, but their internal bruising. Bruising of the heart, the mind, the soul. Very important stuff here. The last flag, the last red flag, the last sign that I want to talk to you on this show. If I had hours, we could go through this whole thing, discuss all solution. We could get a bunch of people on the phone dealing with these types of relationships. And I have people that email me every day and want to tell their story. And I do podcasts where we do talk about their story, okay? Because they have a lot to talk about. And I don't have enough time on these shows because of the syndication and the timing on the radio. So if you want to check out a podcast that's a little longer and it's people's personal stories, one of the coolest places you can go is my website, Ashley Burgess. But you can also go to Spreaker, Spreaker with an R, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. It's like speaker with an R. Spreaker. And you can actually find my podcast. You can also go to Apple iTunes and Apple Podcasts, and you just look for Ashley Burgess, Live Your True Life Perspectives. And I talk with some folks really deeply and intimately about these types of things. And as much as I can bring them on the air, I will. But a lot of people have, you know, we have stories. Everybody you out there, you have a story that needs to be told. You have a story of value. And I don't want to try to cut you off when you're telling your story. So I usually feature those in the podcast. Last but not least, the last sign that I want to talk about on this show today is that addictive behavior does not stick with just one addiction. Okay? When we have an addictive behavior, we have a tendency of having an addictive behavior about a lot of things. Okay, if we have addictive behavior about relationships, we might also have an addictive behavior about food. We might also have an addictive behavior about alcohol. We might have an addictive behavior about drugs or pills. And the reason for that addictive behavior is we feel as though we are empty. We have an empty feeling, and we want to fill the empty feeling so we don't feel empty anymore. But the problem with that equation is we got to find the actual thing that we can fill the empty with that works. See, the drugs, heroin, cocaine, all that doesn't work. The alcohol, that doesn't work. The food, that doesn't work. Anybody that's eaten and eaten and eaten knows that they can't eat enough to fill the void. And the same thing goes for the addicted relationship. the relationship, you're always feeling empty and you're never feeling fulfilled because the relationship cannot give you what you need because what you need has to come from you. Willpower and personal belief here is key to overcoming this type of relationship. This is an addiction, guys, and it must be treated as so, and it must be respected in the fact that it is an addiction. A lot of people say, well, it's a relationship. Well, in this situation, it's an addiction, okay? And we have to wake up and accept that we need to add to our quality of life, and somehow or not, we have to let this addiction go, okay? Same as quitting drugs. You don't quit heroin and go back and do some more. You don't quit heroin and go hang out at the drug dealer's house, right? No. What you do is you go find a facility that can help you stay off the drugs, and then when you come out and you're sober, you find an accountability partner and a therapist that you have to talk to, and make sure that y'all are on the same path so you have somebody supporting you. The same thing goes in an addictive relationship. They're hard to break, and you need some support and accountability partner to let this go. Addictions are hard to break, okay, but we begin by acknowledging the truth that they are an addiction. We have to be honest with ourselves. And I think really, if you get down to the crux of it, most of us don't really feel that we deserve real love. And that's why we've entered into this toxic relationship, another unhealthy cycle in our life. I'll be talking in the future about things that you can do to overcome this addicted relationship. But first, we have to get real with ourselves. First, we have to assume the truth and know where we are. And we have to get ready to have the willpower and the acceptance to actually allow ourselves grow in this lifetime and let go of what's no longer helping us, serving us, or adding to our quality of life. Share the show with your friends and family. It could probably help them. And in the meantime, live your true life perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.